So I was in two minds about whether to say anything about this or not, and I toyed with doing a proper like full-blown video and rolling footage and all that. But I thought I'd just get off my chest that in the past few weeks, you had the Christmas holidays and you've got more time to sort of scroll social media and whatnot. And so I kind of got on board. I kind of got on top of the current situation with sort of populism in Britain, which I used to speak about a lot more. That's why I almost never did this kind of monologue, because I felt like I said it all years ago. So I caught up with it all anyway, and you see these figureheads who are representing a certain position of this political spectrum, which would be a kind of gently right wing conservative. It's completely incoherent, more sort of populist. The kind of people who would get called gammons, the Brexit voters, and all this. And when you look at people like Julia Hartley Brewer and GB News and Tom Harwood and all this, you really just could not wish for worse allies than that. It's like at every turn they give the line away and stab their base in the back. And I first picked up on this when so Julia Hartley Brewer, to do with the mandates and the vaccines and all of this masks, she came out on the side of the kind of, let's just say, the anti-establishment side of it. So she was against more restrictions and all of this. And then but nevertheless, she got like double needle crafted herself. And then, so her line in the sand was that she would never show her vaccine passport. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that. I've said enough about it. I'm not going to get into all of that again here. This is just as an issue in sort of the political sphere that's going on at the moment. So she kind of found a way, like a sort of wriggle space, where she went along with what the establishment said, but then, on the core issue of it. And then she said that, well, and so sort of to compensate that and pander to the base, her take was that she would never show a vaccine passport, and she'd never wear a mask again. So she said she wouldn't comply. But then, like just a couple of weeks ago, she actually did, because she must have seen that there was, I mean, it's so bad. So then a few weeks ago, it was like, oh no, they could go for lockdowns, there could be some restrictions coming in. And she pissed off to Barbados, and she on the airplane she wore the mask. Presumably she had to show the passport thing, the digital ID thing, to get through the airport. So she did all what was demanded of her, like really, when it came down to it. But then what she did was like took a selfie of herself on the airplane. And she was wearing a mask, and the mask said like this on there was writing on it, and it said, "This is insane." So it was as if like, but she, so she said that she would never go along with it. She said that she would never comply again, but then she did comply, and there's this like kind of pathetic cope. She was like, "Oh, I just still think it's all crazy. I still think it's all crazy, but I'm still gonna piss off to Barbados and leave all you arseholes in this shit anyway. So I'll catch you later. It's just a job. It's just a job to pretend to represent your interests on talk radio. Like when you think I'm this figurehead of this, like speaking truth, saying it as it is, old bulldog nationalist British spirit. In actual fact, I'm gonna leave you all in the lurch and piss off to Barbados." So then what happened was that Tony Blair got knighted by the elite via the Queen. She was put up to it, and the elite class wanted Tony Blair to be knighted. They want, and you just know that Tony Blair is going to get his site all embroidered with like a fancy gold lettering, to just to emphasize the Sir on his Bill Gates funded website and activism. So whatever, from the perspective of Julia Hartley Brewer's like base, her audience, the kind of discontent, native, sort of pissed off, politically incorrect normies who are downtrodden and lied to by the system all of the time. Like from their point of view, Tony Blair is literally Satan. He is the man who destroyed Britain, and they'd be absolutely correct on that. And then why not? I mean, he also did crime against humanity in the war against Iraq. So Julia Hartley Brewer's hot take on the Blair knighthood, knowing that it would piss off absolutely everybody, was to say that anybody who got elected three times deserved a knighthood. And you just think, like, why? And again, she was in lockstep with the kind of Twitter Tories who would say, well, if the Queen's going to nominate him, then that's fair enough. Then it means that he deserves it. I respect the royal institution, which is another like pathetic cope. But in the case of Julia Hartley Brewers, she's saying, well, you know, he got elected three times. Well, what she's signalling there is that he isn't really that bad. He isn't really that much of an enemy. Why would you give them that? Why would you? So there's like a petition going around with hundreds of thousands of signatures on it saying Tony Blair should be stripped of his knighthood for all of the bad things that he's done. But I mean, it irritates me, but mainly the Iraq stuff. I'd like to see him held accountable for what he did to Britain. But so once again, like the as a figurehead of the, whether she likes it or not, whether it's intended or not, she represents a certain demographic. But every time, always, the figureheads kind of let them down. They like sort of take the army up the hill and then just tell them to go back down again. They, whenever it comes to it, whatever issue it is, have drawn a line in the sand and saying, right, this principle, this has gone far enough and here's why. It'll never happen. They always find a way to wriggle out. But when you see the other side of this, you see the Guardian, you see the BBC, the FBPE, rainbow flag types, like there's absolutely, their lines are clearly drawn. Their battle plans are well coordinated. And this, we get this shit show on the right. And there's another one on, he's on GB News and he's like a Tory as well, called Tom Harwood. And so GB News was supposed to be the anti-woke, because the demographic that I'm speaking about, let's just say the populist anti-establishment wave, swathe of Brits, they didn't have an outlet because everywhere's politically correct. So then, like, they get GB News, where, and it's again, it's a mixed bag, and I'm going to come to why this is a problem in a minute, but if you look at somebody like Neil Oliver and his take on the lockdowns and all that kind of thing, that's absolutely superb. Like, this is bang in the target. That's exactly what the people want when they tune in. That's what they expect. That's what they want. They want politically incorrect takes that challenge the establishment narratives. But then mixed into the bunch, you get like this kind of Tory boy called Tom Harwood, and he's now coming out on the side that boys identifying as girls should be able to use girls' toilets and bathrooms and dressing rooms and all of this kind of thing. So, like, once again, the remember, these are outlets which are supposed to pander to a certain base. And once again, they get poked in the eye by the people who are on these shows and on these platforms, on these talk radio and GB News, these channels. So they can't even get their own media. They, even when they think they're getting their own media, people just get wafted into positions of prominence who then turn around and poke them in the eye and take the exact different view. And it isn't happening on the other side. You don't have to worry about something, like say, populist and right-wing and politically incorrect appearing in the Guardian's opinion pages. So why can't these kinds of platforms be policed for ideological reasons? When you look at the other side of this, you'll see that there's a clear friend-enemy distinction. There's a clear understanding of who is us and who is them, and the us, the our camp, has to be a coherent block which is more or less ideologically sound. They've got their own splinters, you know, with the kind of the feminist issue against the trans issue, so they've got their own problems, but by and large they are all facing in one direction. When you get to the what should be like the pathetic amount of space which is allowed, like, for the kind of disaffected normies, the right-leaning politically incorrect types, there's not much there. But then what you find is that it's strategically placed within that camp are people who just turn around, stab you in the back and not get on message, not get on page. Time and time again they let you down. They will literally just jump on a plane, abandon all of their principles, jump on a plane and piss off to Barbados. They will be on your platforms telling you to kneel to BLM, when the reason you went in to watch that platform in the first place is because you didn't want to sort of take any of that nonsense seriously. And what this does is wreak havoc with the friend enemy distinction, because your enemies are now, in terms of narrative and constructing narrative, are in your own camp. So you have to, you're now looking only inwards and never outwards. Look at the idea of like the Twitter Tories who are now defending Tony Blair getting the knighthood on the basis that it's the institution. They will respect the royal family and the royal institution. But the problem is, if they've given Tony Blair a knighthood, it means the institution is not defending tradition, which is presumably why they supported in the first place. So now what's happened is they're defending a corrupt institution which is attacking them, which is actually being weaponized and used against them. So they end up in a position like a kind of like a blackbird building home worms and grubs, where in the nest all of its chicks are long dead, and all that's sitting there is like a fat cuckoo. They're feeding the enemy. I mean, I get that they're all controlled opposition, they're all there for the purpose of gatekeeping and all of that, but in the past, people used to at least pretend to be on our side. They would at least put up the pretense that they cared about your talking points and what was frustrating you about the world. The barter entry now to be a right-wing pundit on sort of these platforms in Britain, the barter entry is so low that the normie kind of right-wing populist masses will just accept anybody who doesn't just hate their guts out in the open. It's so bad, but you couldn't wish for a worse set of allies to have, like.